turn to the same passage we read this morning, 2 Kings chapter 13. Again, we like to read verses 14 through 20. And then we'd like to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, reading verses 14 through 20, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now Elisha was fallen sick of a sickness whereof he died. Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. He put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. He said, Open the window eastward, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou hast consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice, and stayed. The man of God was wroth with him, and said, Thou should have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I'd like to read verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now these two passages have absolutely no contextual or historical connection whatsoever. In the text in 2 Kings, we again see Joash in the presence of Elisha, who was dying, and the reason that Joash was there was because he realized that Elisha was a godly man and that the well-being of Israel depended much upon Elisha. And Joash was concerned about his war with Syria at that time. And then in the text there in 2 Corinthians, the subject of the surrounding verses there is giving. And Paul uses the churches of Macedonia, we see there in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 1, as an example. Now the churches of Macedonia would be Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. So he uses them as an example. Again, there is no contextual connection between what we read in 2 Corinthians 8 and what we read in 2 Kings chapter 13. There is no historical connection. But all Scripture is connected. All Scripture does work together. All Scripture, of course, is connected in teaching biblical principles, and I believe that would be the case here with these two Scriptures. In the passage there in 2 Kings, as we saw this morning, Elisha told Joash to open the window, shoot an arrow. And Joash did that. And we see as the arrow was sailing through the air, Elisha announced that it was the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. In other words, he was telling Joash what the arrow represented. He was saying, this represents your victory over Syria. And then he told him to shoot his arrows into the ground. And again, Joash, knowing what these arrows now represented, shot three arrows, and then he quit. And Elisha was angry with Joash. And notice there in verse 19, he said, Thou should have smitten five or six times. I want to just concentrate on those words, Thou shouldest have, or thou should have. Remember those words, thou should have. Those words are filled with sadness, We hear them all the time. I should have done this. I should have done that. There's some sadness in those words. Those words represent failure. Those words speak of disappointment. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5, Paul, again using the churches of Macedonia as an example in giving, states the root and the foundation of their giving. And this is seen in the phrase, notice there, first gave their own selves to the Lord. It's a very important phrase. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. I believe those words contain the main element of what God would always have us to do, that we would first give ourselves unto the Lord. So we want to connect these two phrases, thou should have, and then first gave themselves unto the Lord. I want to speak tonight on the way to avoid you should have. We all have I should have. Should have done this, should have done that. But there is a way to avoid having to look back upon our lives and say, I should have. Again, Elisha told Joash, Joash, you should have shot 5 or 6 arrows. In other words, you should have shot all your arrows. So I want to consider, first of all, those words, you should have. I imagine as soon as Elisha said to Joash, thou shouldest have shot 5 or 6 times, I imagine immediately Joash wish he would have. Immediately. He wishes that he would have. And immediately he felt a tremendous regret. And any time you hear somebody say, I should have done such and such, those are words of regret. He felt, no doubt, remorse at that moment. When Elisha said, Joash, you should have shot 5 or 6 arrows instead of 3. Joash immediately felt remorse. And he felt a degree of sorrow. And he felt disappointment. We see all of those things in that phrase, I should have, or you should have. We see regret. We see remorse. We see sorrow. We see disappointment. But what is so sad is that those words are descriptive of many lives. You should have. You should have. Joash suffered a tremendous loss because he did not do what he should have done. And how often we suffer loss because we do not do what we should have done. We see that Joash failed to achieve some things. He could have had more victories over Syria, but instead he only had 3. So Joash failed to achieve some things because he did not do what he should have done. And so it is with you and I. We fail to achieve many things because we do not do what we should have done. Or we do something other than what we should have done. Joash missed out. Joash missed out. Because he did not do what he should have done. And how often we miss out. Because we didn't do what we should have done. I should have. Joash came up short because he did not do what he should have done. And how many times have you heard people say, I should have, and then whatever follows. I should have, and if I would have, my life would be different. today. That's true in a lot of cases. That's true in a lot of different aspects in our lives. Had we done something differently, our lives would be different. Now, it works both ways. How many have suffered loss? Their families are in ruins. Their marriages are a shamble. And you will hear them say, I should have. I should have done such and such. And perhaps had I done such and such, I wouldn't have suffered the loss that I suffered. I may have been able to save my family. I may have been able to save my marriage or my home. And on it can go. I should have. How many times we can look at decisions that we have made, choices that we have made, and we have to say, I should have made a different choice. I should have made a different decision. And had I made a different decision, had I made a different choice, my life might be different. I should have. Nobody likes to hear somebody tell them, you should have done such and such. When you go and you tell somebody your problems, the last thing you want them to tell you is you should have. We don't like to hear that. But we all have to say it in many areas in our life. I should have. And Elisha told Joash, you should have. And every day we make choices. Every day we're confronted with things that we may later look back and say with great regret and great disappointment, remorse and sorrow, I should have. I should have done something different. I've been with many people on their deathbed. And when people draw near to the end of their lives, you often hear those three words. I should have. I should have. And I suppose all of us, to some degree, will always have some I should have. And I imagine when we get to the end of our life, we begin to look at things a little differently. And I'm sure all of us will have some I should haves. Should have done something differently. All of us, again, have those I should haves. I should have had a more meaningful relationship with the Lord. Well, that's for sure. That's true of all of us. I should have spent more time alone with God. That's true of all of us too. Should have prayed more. That's true as well. I should have spent more time in God's Word. I should have been more serious about serving the Lord and following the Lord's will. I should have been more committed. I should have been more dedicated to the Lord. And certainly when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, I believe we'll be thinking also, I should have. I should have. Should have done such and such. But none of us want to look back on our lives and have our entire life filled with I should have. But for many, almost their entire life is described by those words, I should have. Should have been a better father. Should have been a better husband. Should have been a better church member. On and on it goes. I should have. When you come to the end, you will not be saying, I should have spent less time in church. I've never heard anyone say that. I should have spent less time reading the Word of God. I should have spent less time praying. I should have been less serious about serving the Lord. I've known some folks that have been very dedicated and very zealous in serving the Lord. And even when they come to their deathbed, I've never heard one of them say, I should have been less dedicated. But instead, it's, I wish I'd have done more. Wish I would have served the Lord more. So those three words, I should have, are words of regret. But the question is, what is the best way to avoid a life of regret? What is the best way to avoid a life of disappointment? And I believe the answer to that is found in 2 Corinthians 8 in verse 5. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. That'll fix a life of regrets. Because if we would first give our lives unto the Lord, we won't make the foolish decisions. We won't make the wrong choices. We'll do those things that we should. So what these words are talking about, first gave their own selves to the Lord, is absolute surrender. And I believe that's the way to avoid a life of regret. First gave themselves, or their own selves, to the Lord. That is, they presented, they offered themselves to the Lord. They handed over themselves to the Lord. They gave up themselves to the Lord. They let go of themselves to the Lord. They relinquished possession and claim to their lives. You won't have regrets if you do that. You relinquish all possession of your life. You relinquish all claims to your life. And that'll do away with a life of I should have. You'll never be sorry for relinquishing possession and claim to your life. These words, first gave their own selves to the Lord, means that they committed, they dedicated themselves to the Lord. It means that they confined themselves to the Lord. It means that they yielded themselves to the Lord. It means that they gave way to the Lord. When there was a conflict between their will and God's will, they gave way to God's will. You see, the I should haves come in when we give way to our own will over the Lord's will. They submitted themselves to the Lord. They submitted themselves to be governed by Him. They submitted themselves to comply with Him and to conform to Him. And we read here that they first gave their own selves to the Lord. That involves a denial of self. That involves a continuous and daily act. This is something we have to do every day. If you did this 10 years ago, I'm sorry, but it's not good enough for today. We have to give ourselves over to the Lord every single day. And we have to do it many times in a day. It is a continuous act. It never, ever stops. That is, we are to always be presenting ourselves. We're to always be letting go of ourselves, in offering ourselves unto the Lord. We'd always be handing over ourselves and giving up and relinquishing possession and claim of ourselves. It is a matter of great importance. It's something we have to hold fast to. Once we surrender ourselves to God, once we give ourselves to God, we have to hold fast to that. Not only do we have to hold fast to it, We have to confirm it. We have to let everyone know, I have given myself to God. And then we need to renew it over and over and over again. And I believe that'll save us a lot of I should haves. I should haves. Because I can go back to wrong decisions I have made, and it is not. It has always been when I'm not submitted unto God. Whether it be a wrong purchase or whatever it is. When I'm submitted to God, I make right choices. When I'm yielded to God, I make right choices. When I begin to follow my own ways instead of God's ways, that's when I make wrong choices. And that's when I'll end up saying, I should have. I should have. You see, if we submit ourselves to God, if you have problems with another individual, another church member, you have bitterness in your heart toward that individual, you first submit yourself to God and you'll get right with that individual. You'll make things right. If you do not submit yourself to God, you'll justify the bitterness in your heart every single day. And you'll come to the end of your road and you'll say, I should have. No one will ever come to the end of the road and say, you know, I should have never made things right with so-and-so. That'll never happen. I should have. Should have gotten right. Should have done what God told me to do. So what God expects is absolute surrender. It's what he expects. We sing the song, I Surrender All, and we lie every time we sing it. Because there is not a single one of us that has surrendered all. We never have. But it's something we ought to work on every single day of our lives. It is the attitude, I am his. And I am entirely at his service. That's what absolute surrender means. I am entirely at his service. I relinquish my entire life over to him. I'm telling you, if you're saved and you do not do that, you will fill your life with I should haves. So this is a matter, as we read here in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5, it's a matter of priority. It's a matter of focus. Notice they, and then notice first, gave their own selves to the Lord. The word first speaks of priority. It speaks of focus. That is, before everything else, they gave their selves to the Lord. In preference to everything else, they gave themselves to the Lord. That's what we have to do. That should be a matter of priority every single day. When we get up, we need to give ourselves over to God. We need to let go of our life. We need to relinquish possession of our life. And that should be a matter of priority. That should be a matter of focus. And you keep renewing that throughout the day. And at the end, and that'll take care of a lot of I should haves for the day. That'll just eliminate them. Because you've been submitted to the Lord. We see also this is something that's voluntary. First gave their own selves. They voluntarily did that. In other words, there was a willingness to give themselves to God. There should be a willingness on the part of a child of God to present themselves to the Lord, to offer themselves to the Lord, to let go of themselves to the Lord, to relinquish themselves to the Lord, to commit themselves to the Lord, to dedicate themselves to the Lord, to confine themselves to the Lord. There ought to be a willingness to do that. We ought to do that readily and cheerfully. And again, that will take care of a lot of I should haves. That will eliminate a lot of I should haves. Because it is our lack of willingness. It is our lack of willingness to surrender to God that is such a great hindrance to our spiritual progress. The reason we do not progress spiritually is because of our lack of surrender to God. I've never known anybody who surrenders to God who does not make spiritual progress. You will always progress spiritually when you surrender your life to the Lord. We fill our lives with so many unnecessary struggles. There's enough struggles. There's going to be struggles when you give your life to the Lord. There'll be plenty of struggles. But don't you see, we bring so many unnecessary struggles into our lives because of our failure to submit to the Lord. Our failure to just surrender to God. We bring so many difficulties in our lives by failing to submit to the Lord. I'm not saying that if you submit to God, it'll take care of all your difficulties. But you will eliminate many unnecessary difficulties by surrendering to the Lord. You will eliminate some unnecessary trials and some unnecessary problems. You see, it is our lack of willingness. It is our lack of willingness to present ourselves and to offer ourselves to the Lord that fills our lives with chaos, and that fills our lives with confusion, and that fills our lives with unnecessary questions, because we just do not submit. Why, if we would just submit to the Lord, a lot of the questions we have are answered. They're answered. We don't even ask the questions because we're submitted to the Lord. So we ought to always be ready and willing to submit to the Lord's power, to govern our lives, to mold and to shape our lives. Those who want their lives to be governed by God, molded by God, shaped by God, will voluntarily submit themselves to the Lord. And that's what a life of faith will do. A life of faith. Faith will cause you to surrender to God. That's faith. Faith will cause you to surrender. Faith will cause you to submit to God. I mean, why would any of us fight against God governing our lives? I mean, do we honestly believe that we can better manage our lives than God can? I certainly hope not. Why would we fight against God's governing our lives? It's a lack of faith. It's because we honestly believe, I can do this better. God may fail me. Do you believe, do you think that you have more right to your life than God does? Why would we fight submission? And yet, that's what we all do to some degree. We fight surrendering to the God. We fight just giving it all over to Him. We fight against that. And it just doesn't make sense when we know who God is. The truth is, many times we get to thinking that if we sacrifice our lives to God, if we surrender ourselves totally to God, then we'll be in bondage. But just the opposite is true. Sacrifice and submission to God is liberating. That's what sets us free. It sets us free from our own ways. It sets us free from our own way of thinking. It sets us free from so many things. Just to surrender to God. And I believe there is nothing the devil fights harder against than submission to the Lord. Because this is the root, this is the foundation of serving the Lord. We see it is an act of priority, it's an act of focus, it's voluntary. We see also that it's complete. first gave their own selves to the Lord. All that we are, all that we have, is included in those words, their own selves. It is a complete and entire resignation of our lives to God. God help us to want to entirely resign our lives to God, to entirely submit to God. Their own selves, that means our time, that means our property, that means our plans, that means our jobs, means everything. Everything that makes up our lives, we're to let go of and give it to God. And the very day that we learn to do that, we are on the road to serving the Lord. But again, this is something we have to do every day. Every day we have to give our lives over to God. Every day we have to let go of all possession of our lives, of all claims to our lives. We all fight surrender to God. You hear it all the time. Those who have been called to preach, how long they struggled with it. That's true. It's true about a lot of things. Because we just refuse to let go. One of the best examples to me of letting go is Abraham offering his son Isaac. He was willing to let go. And we have to be willing to let go. I don't believe that you have to give up everything to serve God, but you have to be willing to let go of everything. And God will put you to the test to see if you are willing to let go. And if we are not willing to let go, I'm telling you, we're going to bring a lot of I should haves into our life. When you come to the end of your life, you will never say, I should have never given that to God. I should have never given that part of my life to God. You'll never say that. It'll always be, I should have. I should have surrendered. I should have been more surrendered to God. And our surrender, not only is it to be entire, not only is it to be undivided, but it is to be more and more trustful every day. The truth is, you're not going to surrender anything to another individual that you don't trust. That's true of God also. And our surrender ought to be more and more trustful every day. There are some things that are required before we'll ever surrender to God. We have to come to the realization that God has an absolute and universal right to everything that you are and everything you have. And until you come to that realization, you will never surrender to the Lord. So when we read that they first gave their own selves to the Lord, that tells me that they had come to the realization that God has the absolute right to everything. He has the absolute right to my life. This is what Solomon was saying in Proverbs 3 and verse 6 when he said, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Acknowledge the fact that He is God. Acknowledge the fact that He has universal right and absolute claim to your life. And all, again, that will eliminate a lot of I should haves. He has universal right to possession. He has universal right of authority. He is God. And he has the absolute right of expectation, of expecting you and I to surrender everything we have and everything that we are to the Lord. And he is the only one who does have that right. No one else does. No one else has the right to absolute possession. Only God. No one has universal authority. Only God. Even the church does not have universal authority. They have as much authority as God has given them. No more. No less as well. The rights and claims of God are unlimited. Therefore, we're all debtors to God. Whether you're saved or lost, you're a debtor to God. Just the fact that He's the Creator makes you a debtor to God. The fact that you've been handmade by God makes you a debtor to God. You and I that are saved, we're debtors to God. We're debtors to God because He created us. We're debtors to God because He saved us. And the psalmist asked in Psalm 116 and verse 12, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me?" And the answer to that question is, first gave their own selves to the Lord. That's what we're to render to God. He expects nothing less. We're to give our own selves to the Lord. And that is absolutely essential to our spiritual well-being. And again, it will eliminate a lot of I should haves in our life. Look back on your life. And all the things that you should have done, the truth is you would have had you been surrendered at that moment to the Lord. So you see, the way to avoid I should haves is to be surrendered to God. This is a very significant thing, to surrender ourselves to God. Absolute surrender. Very significant. That's why Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 1, "I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God." Paul is saying, "I beg you, I plead with you, I call upon you, I petition you to present yourselves to God." Why did he beg for that? Because Paul knew what it was to be surrendered to the Lord. Paul knew what it was to be surrendered. Why do you think he endured what he endured? Because he was surrendered to God. You're not going to endure the stonings. You're not going to endure the beatings. You're not going to endure the trials if you're not surrendered to God. Only those who are surrendered to God can endure those things. Only those. And when the slightest thing just throws us for a loop, it only testifies that we're not surrendered to God. Because there's great strength in surrendering to the Lord. He pleaded with them because he knew that this was the only way to live for the honor and glory of God. And if we were to ask everybody here tonight, do you want to live for the honor and glory of God? I'm sure everybody here would say yes. Then here's what you got to do. You have to first give yourselves unto the Lord. That's the first thing that you have to do. It is the way to live the most useful and productive life. And again, if we were to ask everybody here, do you want to be useful? Do you want to be productive? Everybody would say, yes, I want to be useful. I want to be a blessing. Then first present yourself unto the Lord. This is the way. This is the way to do these things. You see, we try to do it a different way. It doesn't work. This is the way. This is the way to be steadfast. Present yourselves unto God. When you feel yourself wavering, you feel yourself that you're on the verge of compromising a truth, surrender to God right at that moment. Give it all to God. And you'll be steadfast. Because we all have those moments where we begin to reason things in our human minds. Well, if I just lighten up on this, then perhaps I can have a better relationship with this person and that, and pretty soon we've given up everything. As soon as you start thinking that way, you just surrender yourself to God. I mean, give it all to Him. And you'll remain steadfast. When your convictions begin to waver, do the same thing. Surrender to God. When you feel like you're about to let down on some of your convictions that you know are godly convictions, surrender. Surrender to the Lord. When you lack passion and zeal, this is the way to get passion. This is the way to get zeal. Surrender to God. So many times people say, oh, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just don't have the passion for the Lord that I once did. I can tell you what's wrong. You might not want to hear it, but I can tell you what's wrong. You're not surrendered enough to the Lord. Because when we're surrendered to God, we'll have passion, we'll have zeal, we'll have conviction. This is the way to overcome. Surrender to God. This is the way to have victory in our lives, is to surrender to God. If you want to be restored, this is where you start. Submitting yourself to God. Surrendering to the Lord. You'll never be restored doing it your way. It has to be a surrender to God. You see, I believe that Paul knew that God has an overflow of blessings. And you want to know the way to live in God's overflow of blessings? Surrender yourself to God. Submit yourself to the Lord. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. Elisha said to Joash, Joash, you should have. The way to avoid those should-haves is surrender to God. Now, you may have a lot of I should-haves, and we all have them. You can do a couple of things. You can sit down and just moan and groan, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that, my life would be so much better, I should have, and you can moan about that the rest of your life. And while you're doing that, you're filling your life with some more I should haves, by the way. Or you can just start anew and surrender yourself to God right now. And that's what you need to do. That's what we all need to do. There is no better way to start a new year than surrendering ourselves to God. But again, don't think that if you surrender yourself to God tonight, that's going to carry you through tomorrow. No, you've got to do it again tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Because of the sinful nature that dwells within us, it's something we have to continually do. The best way to live a life is to surrender to God. The best way to be the husband that you ought to be is surrender to God. The best way to be the wife that you ought to be is to surrender to God. The best way to be the father or the mother that you ought to be, the best way to be the son or the daughter that you ought to be is to surrender to God. The best way to be the church member that you ought to be is to surrender to God. That's the solution. Surrender to the Lord. Why would you fight that tonight? Why would you not want to Give it all over to the Lord. What would keep you from doing that tonight? Surrendering your life and letting go and just giving it to the Lord. I'm telling you, there's a better way to live. The best way to live. I'm not saying it'll solve all your problems. It certainly won't. But the best way to live is just surrender to God. And I pray as a church that we would do that. That we would begin a new year by surrendering ourselves to the Lord. The best way to have, the only way to have a church that's surrendered to God is for each of its members to be surrendered to God. And I can't think of a better way. And I can't think of a better time to start than right now. Are you surrendered to the Lord tonight? You examine your own life.